can we give him praise like he is higher than anything or anyone? Would you give him a praise that reflects his greatness this morning? We give you praise. You're above it all. There's no one like you. There's no one near you. There's no one beside you. There's no one close to you. There's no one that matches you. There's no one like you, Jesus. No one more worthy. Oh, we give praise to the God who is higher than it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are certain people who would like to believe that when they step in the room, they are the most important person in that room. When Jesus Christ steps in the room, he is the most important, powerful, incredible, wonderful person in the room, and everything else just is forced to bow. So when we start to feel his glory and his power sweep through the room, we just can't help but begin to bow in worship and praise and adoration. That's what we're seeing today. I wonder if you just do that in whatever way, however it looks for you. Would you just bow in worship to him, whether it's physically or in your spirit, because he is higher. He is greater. Oh, Lord, you come in the room today. You're here in this sanctuary, and we recognize your greatness above all other. We worship you and glorify you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a confidence we have in this God who is greater than anyone or anything we would ever face, especially in a season, a time like this. It just helps to remember who you're serving and who you're worshiping. God who is above it all, there's no one like him today. And we feel and recognize his glory and power and presence. So thankful for the presence of God. Along with thanking him, we do thank all of our guests that are with us today at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Thank you so much for joining us in worship to this great God. Thankful again for his presence and his word, and we're confident that the word of God is going to help us and shape us. We're going to turn to the book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 6. And all of the Urshan students in the room should know this one well. It is the basis of their Urshan honor code, also the basis of what we'll walk through today in this service. Micah 6 and verse 6 says, "With what shall I come before the Lord? Bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What am I bringing before you, God? What do I do? What would please you? What have you called me to give?" And verse 8 gives the answer. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And this morning, I want to preach to you from that final requirement listed in verse 8 and from this title today, "The Wake of Your Walk." Since this is a message about our walk with God and a call to prayer, I think it's appropriate for us to pray from the outset today. So would you set your Bibles down or your device or whatever you have and lift your hands and your voices, and would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your help, for your presence, your power that's here today, and we recognize that greatness, and we call on your help, Lord. We want to receive your word today. We want your word to shape us, and we want your word to transform us. So we're asking for your help as we fulfill the call that you have put on each and every person, what pleases you to help us, Lord. We want you to help us to walk today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I watched a home video several years ago that dates back to the year 1992. It's 1992 for all those who didn't catch it, not 1900. It was a video that my dad had taken of me when I was yet an infant. And in the video, you could see me on the living room floor of my parents' house, lying on the hideous brown carpet that was prevalent in that day. I had this excited look on my face as I was just learning how to move about on my own. I raised myself up off the floor, something I could no longer do. And I began to crawl around that living room, which apparently warranted an entire video segment, and along with it, high-pitched baby talk from my dad. You all know the type. Good job. There he goes. Good job, Brad. It's this exciting moment in our household. It was the moment I first began to crawl, was this phenomenal and video-worthy experience. This was a benchmark in my young life, and we were celebrating that together. But just as I was figuring things out on my own, and just as my moment of triumph was eclipsing out of the view of the camera, a small voice resounded, and she simply said, uh-oh. It was my older sister, Nicole, who had at some point taken it upon herself to be my personal caretaker. She noticed I was becoming mobile and that my strength was growing, feeling threatened by my raw power and the attention that I was receiving. She quickly ran over to me, and despite my dad's rebuke, she picked me up slightly and then dropped me back down, effectively sabotaging my first attempt at crawling. See, the weight of my body and my unusually large cranium was too much for me to handle. So I fell flat on my face and I began to cry. It was horrible. She had stifled my advances, my moment in the spotlight. I was well on my way to walking uprightly, but she took it upon herself to stop me in my tracks. But thankfully, she did not cripple my resolve. Because it was just several months later, I began to walk on my own. And as you can see this morning, I am still walking by the grace of God. I did not give up on that fateful day. Because even as a baby, I instinctively understood something. I understood even as a child that walking was essential. Somehow, within the limited confines of my comprehension, I understood I needed to walk because walking is fundamental to life itself. Walking is a natural human activity that allows us to be continually mobile. It allows us to go from point A to point B, from the parking lot to the vestibule, from the vestibule into the sanctuary. It allows us to access new places and new environments. It allows us to experience new adventures, to embark on new endeavors. It lets us move. It's essential to our existence. It's necessary for our health and our well-being. It's fundamental to our livelihood. It's central in our everyday lives. Walking is part of living. It's a basic building block of life. It's predominant in almost everything we do. It's fundamental in the life of a human being, which is why I believe it's no coincidence that in Micah 6 and verse 8, we are called and commanded to walk with God. The Hebrew word there is the word yalak. It's just a word that means to walk. But in this context, in this verse, it's a word that implies constant prayer and constant communion. It means more in this verse than a physical stride, but to walk with God means to walk in the same stride as Him. It means to be constantly near Him and constantly near His presence. It suggests a life of dedication to Him, a life filled with moments of interaction with Him. To walk with God is to live with God. It's to be constantly influenced and shaped by His Spirit. It's to be in direct conversation and direct covenant with Him. To walk with God is to talk to Him, to get to know Him. It's to live life with Him. We're called in this verse to walk. We're called to move forward with Him. We're called to be in relationship with Him. Because just as walking is central in the life of every human being, walking with God is fundamental in the life of every believer and every Christian. If you're a believer today, if you're counted among Christians, it is essential to your spiritual existence. It is necessary for your spiritual health. It is crucial in your everyday life. It allows you to access new places and new environments. It lets you get from point A to point B. It's basic in the new life that we've been given. It's central to everything we do. It's fundamental in the life of a Christian. It's required of you and of me. We are called to walk, which is why Paul places such an emphasis on it in Colossians 2 and 6. He's instructing new believers. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Follow after Him. He gives the reasons why, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Paul tells them, walk in Him, follow after Him. If you want to be rooted, if you want to be built up, if you want to be established in the faith, if you want to abound in truth, if you want to live the life that you're called to live, Paul says, walk in Him. Elsewhere in Romans 8, he calls us to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. He adds the same in Galatians 5, to walk by and in the Spirit, which we know is Jesus himself. We're promised that walking with God and walking in the Spirit produces life and freedom from condemnation and freedom from carnality and the effects of sin. There's just something about walking with God and walking in the Spirit that produces a spiritual effect and a spiritual wake in our lives, in our hearts, in our eternities. There is something that happens when we walk with God. There is a wake that is produced in our walk. It's foundational in the life of every person that believes in Jesus. It's in our spiritual DNA. We're called to have a relationship and a walk with Jesus Christ. This is just the way he designed it. In fact, from the beginning, man has been called to walk and talk with God. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. God shared with him the secrets of the earth. Enoch walked with God. And Hebrews 11 says his walk pleased the Lord so much that God took him before he experienced death. Genesis 6 says Noah walked with God and God spared his family. Genesis 17 says the Lord told Abraham to walk before him and he made him the father of many nations. Joseph walked with God and became the highest ranking officer in Egypt. David walked with God and became king of Israel. Daniel walked with God and became the top advisor to the king of Babylon. Paul walked with God and became a great apostle and a great missionary. Men and women of God have been called to walk with him for centuries. And their walks with God have produced an eternal wake and eternal impact that is still being felt today in 2020. Since the days of Adam, God has called men and women to walk and talk with him. And you notice each of these biblical heroes and from the pattern of Scripture produced in the Word of God, that there's just something about walking with God that produces a spiritual wake and that changes us internally. There is a profound change that takes place in the life of an individual that decides to put one foot in front of the other and walk on a regular basis with their Creator. There is a personal wake in each and every walk, and there's a definite and inherent change that happens when you're in communion with Jesus Christ. The truth is, you cannot not change when you're walking with him. It's part of it. It is a built-in. It's an inherent quality of every relationship with Jesus Christ. The evidence is in the building today. You have to change. You cannot not change. When you're walking with him, something on the inside begins to shift as your heart and your life starts to align with his life and with his word. And some of the same things that happen on a physical level when you walk begin to happen on a spiritual level when you walk with him, and those internal changes begin to take place. Whether you see it or not, there's a definite and internal wake from your walk with God. Let me demonstrate it for you this morning, very simply. Help me out, Noah. I pre-warned him. That way I don't lose him. I'm just going to walk across this stage, and you all just watch. You have nothing else to do. Watch as I walk, okay? He told me not to get too far because he didn't want me to get out of the shot. Okay, just watch. Stride, walk. Back, forth, moving. You are picking up some things. You're seeing some things, some parallels, some things. I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, walking involves motion. Walking involves a change in position and a change in posture. I know some of you out there are saying, what about a treadmill? Treadmills, they track your progress. You're still progressing. Walking involves forward motion and momentum. Walking involves moving from point A to point B. It inherently involves progress. It involves movement. Walking is not stagnant. It is not stationary. Walking is not motionless. You cannot walk and stay in the same place. The very nature of walking requires you to get out of the spot you have stayed in and to get moving forward. And just as you cannot remain unmoved as you physically walk, you cannot remain unmoved when you are walking with God. When you're walking with him, you're no longer stagnant. You're no longer immobile. You cannot stay in the same place or the same state in which you've always been walking with God will take you from point A to point B. There is progress. There is progression when you walk with Him. You're no longer stuck in the same routines of your past because you're moving forward. You're no longer bound by the same sins and the same mistakes because they are naturally behind you. You are no longer tied down to your past because you're walking with God into a bright and a beautiful future. Hear me today. Someone who's been walking with God for days or maybe even decades, I want to urge you, stay faithful in your walk and know that it is producing something. It is changing something. You may feel like you've been doing the same thing over and over and over again to no effect, but just staying faithful in your walk with God is producing a change in you and in your life. You may not notice the wake of your walk. But I can assure you, the impact of just you walking with God day in and day out is producing a change in you every single day. It's part of the very nature of walking with God. You can't stay in the same place. If you're walking with Him, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're faithful like Enoch was, if you're steadfast like Daniel was, you can rest assured that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman still avails and it still produces much. You may not be able to see it on the surface, but your walk is producing something. It's changing something. Even if it's just a simple fact, it changes your heart on a daily basis. The truth remains, there is a wake coming from your walk with God. It is not in vain. Your walk is not powerless. Your walk is not without effect. It will change you. It will grow you. It will move you closer to God and where He wants you to be. There is just something about walking with God that changes us, changes our heart and our entire being. It's doing something inside of us we don't always know or see, but if you could see the difference today, if you could see the difference of 20 days of walking with God, much less 20 years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And again, maybe it's not the shakamo every day, but something happens when I decide I'm just going to be faithful and I'm going to get up and I'm going to read that Bible and I'm going to fast a little bit and I'm going to pray. Something is taking place whether I see it or not. You know, sometimes I wish we had some kind of progress bar just floats next to us while we pray. It's just the progress you're making. In fact, there's probably some here. You've got one of those Fitbits or an Apple Watch. We need something like that maybe to track our spiritual activity. I got this Apple Watch. I didn't wear it today. It tracks everything. Tracks my steps or the lack thereof. Tells me how many steps I took, how far I went, how many miles I moved, maybe how many miles I didn't move. Sometimes it reminds me to breathe. You guys know what I'm talking about. You're sitting at your desk. Your Apple Watch is like, it's time to breathe. What do you think I've been doing? I've been breathing my whole life. I never stopped breathing. Breathe. And it tries to teach me how long and all that. It tracks all my steps. At the end of the day, it tells me how far I went, how much progress I made. Tells me I made some kind of progress because I got up and moved. Even if it wasn't hitting my goal, I moved some. Let me park here for a second. Maybe you're not hitting your hour, 2 hour goal. Maybe you're just trying to take one step. But you're still moving. And you're still making progress. And you're still getting closer to God. And you're still in His will. Someone that's feeling like you're failing, but you've been faithful every day. And maybe again, you're not hitting an hour every day, or you're not going as far as you'd like to, but you're still making progress and you're still moving. Maybe you're not seeing it on a screen or on an Apple Watch. I can assure you though today, you are moving forward. You are making progress when you walk with God. You are doing something that's changing something inside of you. You are making progress progress and moving forward. At the end of each day, whether you see it on your Apple Watch or not, you can know I wasn't stagnant today because I got up early and I prayed and I read my Bible. I'm not the same today as I was last week or last month because I've been walking with God. I've been putting one foot in front of the other. I've been faithful. So I know something's happening in me because I decided at some point I'm going to walk with God every single day. There is a wake coming from my walk with God. There is an eternal impact being produced in your walk. So this morning I concur with the prophet Micah and I tell you again from verse 8. He's shown you what's good. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Something powerful happens within us. Every time we carve out time with our Creator, we read His book and we set aside a meal or two, something is taking place within us. And this morning I thank God that doesn't just stop there. It doesn't stop here. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm grateful for an internal change and the progress made on every spiritual level, but I'm also thankful to tell you that the wake of your walk goes far beyond this. Yes, it changes you. But a walk with God will also send shockwaves into those around you, your family, your workplace, your classrooms, and your community. There is indeed something eternal and internal that happens within us when we walk with God, but it goes far beyond our physical frames. And it permeates the individuals and the atmosphere around us. Your walk with God will change you. And your walk with God will change the atmosphere around you. Your walk with God will transform you and it will transform the people that are in your wake. It will alter your personal outcome and it will alter the destiny of your family, your community, and I believe your city. I love to tell the story of Sister Marcia Reaver. She told it many times teaching in youth service. She's a woman who knew how to walk with God. She knew how to get in the Spirit. Told us she went to a restaurant one day. There was a table already seated, and she walked by that table to go to hers. A man eventually got up from that table, and he came over to her, got in her bubble. He said, "You must be some kind of angel." I was thinking, she probably loved that, Brother Reaver. Well, yes. She said, "No, not. Why?" He said, "When you walked by me, I felt something come over me." He said, "I felt the power and the presence of God come over me when you just walked by my table. You may not see it. You may not see the full wake of your walk with God. You may not see the impact it has on those around you, but I can assure you, it is being felt with every prayer you pray, every time you open that Bible, every step you take with your God. There is an eternal impact that stems from your life of prayer and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you see it or not, something powerful happens. When you walk with God, it changes the atmosphere and even the people within it around you. And I'll give you one powerful example of many found throughout the pages of Scripture, specifically the book of Acts. It's of a man named Cornelius who started to walk with God. The Bible doesn't say how long he prayed. Doesn't give us the extent of his prayer life. Acts 10 just says he was devout, feared the Lord, gave to the poor, prayed to God always. These were the hallmarks of his walk with God. He knew how to pray. He prayed always. He was faithful and devout. Notice with me, these are some of the same characteristics many in the room share today. There were no miraculous feats in his resume. He wasn't steeped in the supernatural on a regular basis. It's not noted that he was some elite intercessor on a different spiritual plane as everyone else. He didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. He just walked with God every day. He prayed always, was faithful to the God that he feared and the God that he served. Now notice the wake of one man's walk with God. Cornelius prayed. He prayed consistently, and as a result of his prayer, angels were commissioned and showed up at his house. Messengers were sent to the apostles. A vision was given to Peter. A shift took place in the church. Gentiles received the Spirit of God. His family received salvation and forgiveness of sins. The door to the Gentiles Gentile world was open for revival. And last but not least, a memorial of Cornelius' prayers was set as a reminder before God. Someone hear me. We cannot discount the power in the wake of one consistent walk with God. Take a lesson from Cornelius today. He watched his entire family and his loved ones receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was visited of angels. He met with apostles. He was at the beginning of the greatest revival on earth to the Gentiles. There is a wake coming from your walk. When you pray, angels are being sent and deliverance is being received and unsaved loved ones are being drawn and memorials are being erected in the very presence of God Himself. Keep praying, elder. Keep walking, mom and dad. Keep interceding, young person. Keep growing, hyphen and single adult. There is something happening on a spiritual level because you decide to walk with God every day. You may literally be building things in heaven because you're praying and you are sending a ripple effect here on earth because of your walk. You may not see it yet. There is a spiritual wake coming from you. I could go down the line, testimony after testimony, Bible story after Bible story. I could tell you of Joshua who stayed near the temple in the glory of God and he was the one to lead Israel in the promised land. I could remind you of Paul and Silas who started an earthquake with their prayers. Same Holy Ghost. I could recall the promises of God that if we'll pray and seek His face, turn from darkness, He'll hear, heal, and forgive. I could spend the rest of your morning bringing testimony after testimony from this building, this church. But instead, I'll just leave you with one as Christy comes. Lord, reminded me this week the power of one consistent prayer life. I present as evidence of it a person near and dear to my heart, my brother. I've told this story before, but it still demonstrates the power of one man, one woman, one teenager, one child that walks with God every day. My brother hit a wall in his walk with God. He's in a desperate state, a lost state near the end of his 20s, end of his teenage years rather, and into his early 20s. And my family prayed over him like many of you have prayed over your prodigals and unsaved loved ones. We didn't do anything special. I think of young people, I thought of them today, that raise their hand every time we have prayer. I want you to pray for this family member. That's the same thing we were doing. Praying like something was going to happen before we ever saw it happen. There's just something about a persistent prayer. Gets a hold of God's heart. Those prayers stir the spirit and they start to change the landscape around us. Some of you have been praying for that same person for years and years. And you're wondering if your prayers have done anything. And I wish you could see what they're actually doing. My dad went to men's conference a year in the middle of my brother's struggles. Went to the altar to pray over his family again, something he did every day. This time he felt like the Lord just opened his eyes to see my brother. He wasn't there, but my dad could just see him in front of him. He's down on his hands and knees, being attacked and overcome by darkness and the enemy. This is what he was facing in the spirit. My dad went to prayer, spiritual warfare. Doing whatever he could to help his son. He said he felt like he was literally pulling the enemy off. My brother was not in the building, was not at that altar, but something was happening in the Holy Ghost that my brother didn't know about and my dad could only see slightly. He was sending a ripple effect into the spirit, producing a wake. 1 year later, same conference, same spot, same altar. My dad was there praying again. Had his eyes closed. He said he just felt like a nudge in his spirit. Open your eyes and look over. Opened his eyes and looked over, and there was my brother personally there this time. Hands lifted. worshiping God, on the path of restoration. Didn't know he had a call of God on his life. But God had brought him out and back from some powerful things in darkness. Something happens when we pray, church. Something happens when we pray. And even if this is just for an elder, saint of God, that's been praying the same prayer for decades, I've got to tell you, something happens when you pray. This morning I'm looking for some apostolics who believe exactly what I'm saying. We've got several prayer points we're going to pray, but I wonder if you just stand to your feet and just test what I preach today. Would you just begin to reach in the Holy Ghost and pray? There's some unsaved loved ones. Maybe you haven't called their name in quite some time. But I encourage this church just to begin to pray and lift your voice and pray again like something is happening every time you speak and every time you walk and every time you take a step in the presence of God. I wonder if we could pray right now like we believe something's going to shift and something's going to happen, like that loved one is going to be drawn this morning, like their eyes are going to be open right as you pray today. I wonder if we could pray like we believe something's changing. There is a way coming from a walk, God. We pray. We pray as a church. We lift our faith and our expectation to you that these prayers are not in vain, that this walk is not in vain. This faithfulness, Lord, every faithful act, it's not in vain today. We trust in a God who hears every last prayer. I hear some parents praying right now, some elders that know how to pray. I wonder if you just pray in the Holy Ghost and begin to lift your voice until we feel something shift and something happen today. Oh, there's a prayer trying to break forth, right? Why don't you let the Holy Ghost do some praying for you this morning? Specific people that I know have a heart for these areas to come and to pray. Sister Caressa is going to pray. Lead us in prayer over unsaved loved ones and prodigals. I remember a couple weeks ago when McGuire preached and we loosed the power of the Holy Ghost and something happened in that service. This is not an attempt to recreate that, but this is an attempt to let the Holy Ghost begin to do a work again. Just get us in the vein of that Spirit. I believe when we pray right now, something is going to happen. And maybe we won't see it just yet, but God is going to do the work and His Spirit is going to go where we can't go. I want Sister Caressa to come. She's going to lead us in prayer over prodigals and unsaved loved ones. Would you join your voice with her and pray in the name of Jesus?
God, right now we come before you, Lord, and we stand in the gap for our prodigals and for our unsaved loved ones, God. Just as the priest in the Old Testament would intercede for the people of Israel, God, we stand before you as a royal priesthood, and we intercede for our prodigals and for our unsaved loved ones. God, I pray that they would feel the urgency of your Spirit in these last days. God, your return is upon us. This world is groaning for your second coming. There are signs that are all around us. I pray that these signs would be unavoidable and undeniable to our prodigals and unsaved loved ones. I pray that these events would awaken them from spiritual slumber. I pray, God, that there would be a sweeping revival among our prodigals and unsaved loved ones. God, such as we have never seen before. I pray, oh God, that this would be the great awakening of the last days. Lord, just as you told the prophet Ezekiel to speak a prophetic word to the valley of dry bones, to speak to the four winds, and to let the power of that wind bring life to those dead bodies. Right now, we as a church, we stand and we speak a prophetic message to the spiritual bones of our prodigals. We prophesy, Lord, to the spirit of your wind. Lord, let it blow and bring life into their souls, I pray. In the name of Jesus. God, your word is quick and powerful. That word quick means alive. Your word is alive and your word is already in our prodigals. God, I pray that that alive word would rise up within them. I pray, God, that it would bring life to their souls. God, we don't have time to play games anymore. We are in the final hour and we are coming against the enemy of our souls. God, we clothe ourselves with the armor of God. We come and we wage war against the enemy, just like David and his men marched against the Amalekites. Today we march as a church against the kingdom of Satan. And just like David and his men, we will recover it all. We will recover our prodigals and our unsaved loved ones. We speak it in the name of Jesus. We proclaim it into the atmosphere.
Sister Amber Williford's going to come and lead us in a prayer over our city. I'm fully believing as she prays, I thank God for her burden, that we're just going to see a ripple effect go through our city. Something's going to happen and change. Go ahead and lead us, Sister Amber.
God, we prayed for our city before, but we come to you again today, and we're going to put another foot in front of us, and we're going to walk in faith right now. And so we bring to you the city of St. Louis. We know and we proclaim that this is your city. This is not the city of Satan. This is not the city of hatred. This is not the city of animosity. This is your city. This is the city of peace. This is a city of love, because this is your city. You have people here that you want to save. You have people here that you want to deliver from drugs and alcohol and every type of addiction. And so we take a step of faith and we proclaim your name in our city today. We pray for those that are bound, whether they're bound in religious deception or whether they're bound in narcotics or drugs. We pray in the name of Jesus for our city today. We pray as we walk physically through this city that the atmosphere would begin to change. I pray that as we walk our neighborhoods, maybe we're walking for exercise, but there's a weight to our walk because we're also walking with you. We're walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. And as we walk through restaurants, as we walk through supermarkets, as we walk through coffee shops, I pray that there would be a wake of our walk that would touch the unsaved of our city, that would touch the lost and dying and broken of our city. I pray in the name of Jesus for the power of the Holy Ghost to accompany our walk. I pray that we would walk bravely, and that we would walk boldly, and that we would walk humbly into every area, God, where you are calling us to. In the name of Jesus, send us to hurting people and send hurting people to us. Let there be nothing in the highway that would hinder them coming to us and that would hinder us going to them. I pray that you would begin to release us right now in the Holy Ghost. Would you release a prayer? Would you release an intercession right now for this city? Why don't somebody just pray in the Holy Ghost? Maybe you don't have words to say, but pray in the Holy Ghost for the children of our city. There's some that are being sexually abused. There's some that are in foster systems and adoption homes that need to know that they're loved. Would you pray for the children of our city? God, would you touch them? Would you be with them right now, God? Would you come alongside them? Let an angel come alongside them and be with them and love them. And finally, I pray that that angel that you sent to Cornelius, I pray that you'd send it all over this city right now. Bring revelation of who you are. Bring revelation of your name and of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I pray that the light of truth would begin to shine in this city as an angel visits them and reveals your love and your message. Let it go forth right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. This is who we are, church. We're people of prayer. We are apostolic. I thank God for the anointing that's here. I've asked Brother Everett Williford to pray our last prayer today. We're going to just pray over those who are hurting, those who are sick. The Bible talks about calling for the elders to come, to lay hands and to pray, and they will be healed. I'm going to ask our elder who has walked with God his life, has lived this, what I preached today, lived this sermon. I'm going to ask him to lead us in prayer. Would you join him as we pray for those who are hurting and those who are sick? Go ahead, Brother Everett.
Lord Jesus, we are thankful to come before you this morning. We're thankful that you have the answer, Lord. Not only do you have that answer, but you are the answer to our every need. Lord, you hear the cry of those that are silent out there. We don't see them. We can't be in their home. But we know, Lord, that they are crying unto you. There are hearts that are heavy. There are hearts that are hurting, Lord. Those that are in sickness, we pray for a strength, a healing covering upon your hand to be upon them, Lord. Let the stripes that you took upon your back for our healing, let it surface, Lord, in their home and in their lives, in these hospital rooms where we're desperate in people. Lord, we ask your hand to move upon them, Lord, those that are hurting emotionally, Lord, those that have hearts in their life that they can't deal with right now. They don't seem impossible, but Lord, with you, all things are possible. We ask your hand to be with them and guide them. There are those, Lord, that are having financial difficulties, but we know, Lord, that you have promised us that you will ever lead us and you'll never forsake us, Lord. You have clothed the lily as the valley, and you also will supply that need for everyone, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that are hurting, those that have emotional needs, those that have hearts in their family, Lord. We pray for healing in families. We know, Lord, that you're altogether lovely and you have a peace. Those that are hurting and humbled before you, Lord, we come asking you to be with us as we walk with you, Lord. You have also given us the privilege of talking with you, and we thank you for that avenue of prayer. We pray you would humble our hearts before you each day, Lord. Let us not cease to walk before you. Let us not cease to pray. But let us ever look to you, Lord, for the answers for our needs. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your word that gives us the strength that we need, Lord. We're a privileged people, and we want to thank you for that privilege. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, and we're so grateful for your love and power and your glory. Be with us and guide us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Now can we give a praise unto the Lord in advance for what he's going to do? We love you. We praise you. Thank you for every life changed. Thank you, Lord, for the power and the effect of prayer. We thank you for the promises we stand on today. We glorify you in advance in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.